Hey, Jamie, I've got a question for you.
What do you want, Tom?
Who's on the podcast this coming Friday? Is it someone big?
Boy.
Is it a big one? Shall I bother listening this week?
Yeah. If I was going to say take.
And I would say off.
No.
Your trousers.
No, no. Take.
Me out.
No. Take.
Paddy McGuinness.
No. Take.
Take on me.
Take that.
Wow.
Have a little patience.
But hang on, presumably you haven't got all three of them, have you? Presumably you've just got one of them.
Buddy, we have all three of them on the podcast. They've released a new album. It's coming out. They're going on tour. They talk about the ups, the downs, the lefts, the rights, on everything that happened in Take That.
The ins, the outs.
And they reveal it all this Friday.
Exclusively.
On Private Parts.
That's a big one. I'm going to listen to that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, welcome to the Whole Truth Podcast. This is Lucy Rose. I'm Jordan Stevens. Very happy to have you on board.
Thank you.
Funny music, we're just saying that. Over the course of this, I just want to really... to try and have like a warm discussion about mental health and also music in conjunction. And then almost probably we will go off on quite a wild tangent and we can just talk about something else like horses. Do you like horses?
Yeah, I don't really like... I've always wanted to like horses. I only went on a horse once and I actually wet myself.
Really?
So,
yo,
that put me off.
That's a great start to this podcast. I love that. That's a great open dismissal straight
but
up. You peed on a horse.
Yeah, I have dreams of sort of galloping on horses at some point in my life. It's a dream at the moment.
Yeah, have you literally had a dream about galloping on a horse?
Yeah, like it's like a life meaning. Ambition.
I mean, literally gone to sleep and dreamt about a horse.
Yeah, definitely. Like about being like a cowgirl on a horse, definitely.
Whoa.
Come on, hasn't everyone had that? I think everyone's had that.
I've had a dream about being stuck in a stampede.
That's different.
Yeah, it's quite deep anxiety-based dream, that. Feeling powerless to your environment, apparently. That's what it says online.
Seriously? I haven't actually looked up what just... galloping through the desert on a horse means. I don't know, if I get a bit of free time, I was thinking I could go to a ranch and properly learn how to ride a horse.
Definitely. I got a mate.
Do you? Seriously?
Yeah, we can take you to a stable. 100%. I love horses. Although, while we're on the topic of dreams, when people talk about dreams, I find it shocking that not everyone is running around being like, oh my God, I just imagined something completely surreal. Do you not think it's quite surreal that we don't think that dreams are weird?
But have we just not been told that your dreams aren't important forever, so you just never talk about them?
Do you reckon that's what it is?
You know, every time you're like, oh, I had this mad dream, and your mate's like, I don't want to hear it. I don't care. And I think that just infiltrates into your subconscious that dreams aren't important anymore.
Maybe.
Have you ever dreamt a song? That's just something people do.
Oh, like woken up with and been like, oh, this is a tune.
Yeah.
No. I have dreamt... quite elaborate plots from films, not like that I've seen. I remember waking up and being like, how have I imagined that?
You've just written like a blockbuster or something in your head.
Well, if it's felt like it.
I think that you could probably harness your dreams better than we do, in a way. This is something within the subconsciousness, which is, I think, a very powerful thing, which is within music as well. It's like, in some ways, I think with for me with songwriting, it's becoming more and more like, when people talk about meditation and going somewhere utterly sort of unconscious,
yeah,
and harnessing that and being able to use it to sort of explore deeper into yourself than you normally can,
yeah,
within your consciousness. And I think dreams is something, one of those things really, if you can harness it, it can be quite a powerful thing.
Love that. And that's a good segue into talking about a bit about what you do. And you are a musician, a very accomplished, a very successful musician. No?
I don't know, really.
I love that. I mean, it's not really your place to say that, is it? I mean, look, success is subjective.
Exactly, yeah.
Just gonna cut that. Gonna cut that together. You have a following, like a you know a lot of hardcore fans, man. Who love the stuff you make. That's quite you know, you like follow no one on social media and stuff.
Does that make me successful?
It makes you super cool.
Does it?
Yeah.
It means I have no friends.
It means you've chosen for people to focus only on your creative intent, whereas there are other people running around begging for approval.
Do you think so? I'm glad you're... That's a new thing. Not following anyone on social media is a new thing. And that's not because of anyone else. That's because of my own addiction to my phone, really. My own sort of a way of just... If I keep looking and then there's stuff to scroll through, then I would waste time on it. Whereas if I now open up any of my apps, there's nothing on there. Nothing exists.
Yeah.
Because my newsfeed is empty, completely empty. So it's like, oh, I've just put that down again. So it has nothing to do with...
An empty newsfeed, guys.
Imagine it.
What's that?
Imagine the beauty of an empty newsfeed.
An empty newsfeed.
But then still on Instagram, I can still hit the thing that still gets me is the search. You know, when you've got the little...
Yeah.
And then I just have hundreds and hundreds of basketball videos. I just tend to... I don't know why, I just have... I've somehow, the algorithm has turned into me into just all basketball videos.
Obviously.
High school basketball videos, like professional basketball videos. So now I'm into basketball.
Why?
Through Why? Not being interested in anything, I'm now interested in basketball.
What place does music have in your life?
God, it's such a long time ago now that I was first interested in music. It's hard for me to remember. My new thing at the moment is that my memory is all false. So whenever I'm looking back at anything in my life, I don't truly believe my memories anymore.
Jeez.
Which is terrible, which means I'm always conscious that I feel like I'm just saying what I think I want to say instead of what the truth is.
Oh my God, what started you off on that?
Because I'm trying to remember what got me into music in the first place.
What has pushed you to the point of doubting your own memory? Because that is quite a legitimate thing to do, to be fair.
Because I feel like you always look back so much, especially with music, like why did you write this song in the first place? And I think you kind of, sometimes you don't know. And often the answer is, I don't know really, I just wrote it.
Yeah.
But you can't, that's not an answer anymore. So then you have an answer and then I feel like your answers become your memories and then you actually really truly
create things just off the basis of
it. Is the truth.
Whoa.
And I do think sometimes the truth changes as well within days, your own memories will change day to day. So I'm going really
honestly love that. I think I can firmly, this is my shit. All right, well then specifically then, what feeling do you get in relation to creating music? Because you touched upon the idea of invention quite fascinating. I know that like Einstein or whatever said there's no such thing as like an original idea or something. It's like an amalgamation of inspiration that you kind of hide in your own.
Definitely.
You know, people talk about someone being like almost a vessel or like a conduit for something. Do you believe in that too? Do you get a feeling similar to that in terms of
I think creation? So, yeah. I feel like with music, my connection with music and playing music, and I've only feel like I've just realised this at the moment, is very similar to people's connection to listening to music as well. As a way of describing it, I think sometimes when I sit down and plug in, if I'm getting on the tube or something, and I plug in and put on a song, I think it does two things simultaneously, which is it helps me understand myself and I guess if I have any problems or thoughts, and it helps me understand all those thoughts at the same time as taking them away when I'm listening to music or making it feel better within forgetting about them and having the music. And I sometimes think sitting down and playing guitar or sitting down and playing piano is almost exactly the same. It somehow allows me to digest my own thoughts as well as forgetting them at the same time whilst playing. And I guess that sort of feeling is what's made me just want to play and write music for as long as I have and hopefully for a long time.
Because you'd say that it's therapeutic, maybe.
It's... Yeah, I mean, last year is the first year I started having therapy, and that was something I'd always had said about music. Is oh yeah, music's so therapeutic to me. It's like therapy, but I've never had therapy before. It's just my version of what I imagine, I guess, therapy to be like. And now, yeah, after starting therapy, and which I think is amazing. For a while, I wanted to call my album "Everyone Needs a Therapist."
It's true. And my therapist would agree.
Yeah, have you got a therapist?
Yeah, yeah.
It's great. I mean, it's.
I stopped for a little bit because her specific technique is she wants me to try and like not get too reliant.
She's like weaning you off her.
Yeah, her particular style is to try and like have a toolkit and utilize it in the real world, and then just hit her up if it gets too much. But just as a disclaimer, this is after like a year of like really intense, sometimes three times a week.
Really?
Yeah, for a particular period. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's very similar. Yeah, like an intensive section of therapy sessions, and then take away what you've learned and have something more sporadic, which is when and if you need it. But yeah, music I think is very, very, I guess, similar to that, because within therapy you're delving into your own feelings in such a way that you don't do, I think, in normal everyday life. Life is so busy that you often put them to one side or bury them down, and I definitely would do that. Someone who talks or sings about their emotions all the time, someone who buries their emotions deeply, which is really contradictory to what I do.
I read back a lyric that I heard a verse that I'd done on this song like a year ago before I had like quite a substantial breakdown, and like I was literally in these lyrics saying what I'd then go on and figure out in myself. So it's almost like I'd just listen to these lyrics, but I'd just be like, oh yeah, and carry on with my day.
It's quite
like,
amazing,
I didn't feel attached. And I wonder if, you know, because do you feel as though you're writing from a place of almost like childishness, but in that kind of outlook on the world, but not necessarily. Does it feel like the same part of you that's writing this music as the one that's performing it?
Oh gosh!
Oh, that's actually might blow my mind a bit.
Yeah, that's hurt my brain a little bit. I guess I think it is. I think my whole creative self. It's definitely one thing, but I think for a while I've lived it like two versions of myself.
Right, yeah.
Definitely, like a creative version who expresses and delves deeply into my own thoughts and feelings in the world, and can go on stage and somehow sing about them. And then this other part of me, which is, I think, quite hard. I've got quite a hard exterior, I think, sometimes, which is very different to this other open, I guess, quite vulnerable self of me within my music. And I think until probably within the last, this record, I think they've become one in a way, and I think that's probably been one of the best things that's happened to me, is the connection of these two parts.
And you've written this record since starting therapy?
Yeah, I think this record is pretty much this. It's like I can become the best of both worlds. I don't have to be somehow so vulnerable and fragile, or so hard and tough, and I don't know what the other words are. There's an amalgamation of the two things, which is going to hopefully allow me to live a more peaceful life in my own mind, really.
And it hasn't affected your creativity?
No, it's been very different, actually. I think in other points when I've been writing songs, I've been very aware that I'm writing a song, that I'm sitting down at a piano and that's, I'm playing a G chord or I'm playing an F. I'm being very aware of what I'm doing, and that I'm writing a song and this is possibly the chorus and those thoughts that are going through my head. This point with this record, it was probably one of the, like, it's hard to describe it because it was a low point, but the lowest point, but it's also been a point of huge self-discovery within it. And within that, because of the way I was feeling, I was so consumed by my own feelings that I was so unaware that I was writing a song at the time. So I very much, you can remember sitting down at the piano thinking, I don't know what is going on inside me at the moment and I can't understand it. I'm just going to sit down at the piano for a bit. And then at the end of it, there being a song there, and I've been totally unaware of the fact that there's been an outpour, I guess, of music. And that's pretty much what this album's been, and it's been written in a really small period of time, about, I'd say, 4 or 5 months.
And how long was it since your last album?
It will be like 2 years in July, so I guess just under 2 years.
Whoa, that's I can't wait to listen to that.
Well, hopefully, it feels like it's the first piece of music that feels like one thing. Like, out of albums I've made before, lots of things feel like a collection of songs that I've collected over a period of time, and this feels like one.
And has it shifted, has making the album shifted your perspective on the event that caused it?
I'm still trying to work out what caused it all, really, in a way. Like, I'm like, how did I end up there, and how did I end up with all those feelings? And
it's not clear cut like that. It's just a kind of thing of like, caught up with you.
I don't know if it was just perfect storm, really. And I think many triggers of I guess what's called them as sort of like blows, but I was able to get up from each one, and then the final blow, and it was like a knockout. Then they all came at once. All of the things I hadn't dealt with that I had got up from. All came at once, so it could
be. That happened to me too.
See what I mean?
Yeah, it's fucking dark, isn't it?
It is. And then I guess you start a painful kind of inner journey of understanding it.
But yeah.
I guess the only positive I can take from it is coming out the other side, really.
Right?
Like, wow. Yeah. Really.
Feel stronger for it.
Feel so much stronger for it and better in myself for it. But at the same time, the thought of going through it again is very, you know, even though there is a positive, I wouldn't want to go through it
again. Of course not. But the dream is to feel as though if it was to happen again, you'd have a better tools to deal.
100%. I feel that a little bit. You know that there's a way out now. Like, yeah. It's different. It's very different, I would hope. I think I'm in love with a singer, yeah, but I want to get richer. Life threw me a bag of
lemons. No wonder I'm... Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So up until that point, do you think you had an awareness of mental health? Were you actively avoiding it, or did you just, you know, or was it one of these things where...
I think I was pretty ignorant, to be honest, right, to it before this.
Were there any flags in your behaviour or anything? Panic attacks or anything?
Yeah, I had one panic attack. I've never talked about it. I don't think ever. I don't even think anyone in my life knows about it. It was a period of time before my second record. And I'd written a record and I've, you know, never co-written. It's not been of interest to me. But I was within the Guess the Machine of a major, and there was pressures. I'd finished a record, but the pressures that the hit wasn't there. And yeah. I am not a hit musician. And there was pressures to do some co-writes, and there was even, you know, there was terrible conversations, you know, like, oh, we, you know, if you do this, we'll do this. You know what I mean? The sort of kind of blackmail. It was sort of like things like, you know, we think you need a younger, good, more good-looking band, and then I'll be like, this is my best mate. So I'm not these my best mates. So I don't. You're obviously very shallow. It's like, fine, you can keep them if you just do one like co-write. If you just try it. Like, small, sort of, like, kind of okay, but it's, like, terrible conversations. So they were all happening, and I was, getting my reality check on, actually, what I've always dreamed of, being a musician, doing this, isn't quite panning out the way I'd imagined it to. And I remember I had to do this co-write. It was with a very, I guess, successful band. And I went down to Cardiff and checked myself as my travelodge, and I just had a terrible experience because of my own feelings of not wanting to be there, and me also trying to understand, does this mean I'm not good enough? Am I on my own not good enough? And all these things. And yeah. And it was weird. I don't know if it was a panic attack. I don't know what it was, but I woke up in the middle of the night in a travel lodge thinking I was having a heart attack pretty much. And I called my husband, and he was like, we've got this old Morris Minor, which goes about 40 miles an hour. And he was like, I'm going to get in the Morris Minor now, and I'm driving. I was like, it's going to take you about six hours. He's like, 1 a.m, you can't, it's fine. I was having a heart attack. And then eventually calling like a sort of helpline and this person, lady on the phone, was like, is there anyone you can call who can come and see you now? And it's like, no, do you know anybody in Cardiff? No. You know, and it was going through this list. And at the beginning, I'd had to have given my hotel room, my travel lodge room, and they're just like, I'm sending an ambulance. And it was like, please don't. Yeah. Like this desperate me going like,
don't want to make a big scene.
Please don't send an ambulance to my travel lodge. This is actually ridiculous now. Yeah. I'm fine.
No, but that is scary. Listen, that's a terrifying feeling, though.
Yeah, so that was my first and I think only panic attack. And these two wonderful young girls came, who were probably my age, and just sat with me and, like, put me up to a heart monitor and was like, just sort of...
Calmed me down,
and I just went home the next day. And it was really ironic. I went down... And I had like two more nights at this travel lodge that I was like non-refundable. And then I gave my room number. I was like, I think I'm going to have to check out early. And they're like, which room are you? And it's like, gave my room number, which is obviously the room with the ambulance team in my room at night. Gave me my money back. And as it was happening, I had a song from my first record just playing on top of the sound system. And I just had this like moment of clarity, really. Because it was sort of so dark and awful that I pretty much the next day just went and was like, just drop me to my major label. Just please, just drop me. Because it's not worth it.
You're like, none
of this is worth it. So please just drop me. And then they just put out my record the way it was. And
you're
it was
damn
finished.
Right.
And then onwards and upwards, really.
Wow. Yeah, I feel you. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, man, I've only had one as well.
Really?
That's actually why I started therapy. It's horrible.
It's almost, yeah, it's, and it's so, I don't like even know if it was a panic. I don't even know what
no,
it was.
No, it's what
it's
you
there.
Said.
No, sort of like.
That's how my friend described it. Yeah, no, totally.
I just had this
heart attack
pain
thing is panic
in
attack.
In my chest, where and it felt like.
It's anxiety, yeah.
Yeah, man. It was just unbelievable. I was actually like, I think I'm having a heart attack or something's happening. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, it's horrible.
It was really like an unknown and like a feeling I've never had.
And those emotions you talk about, having to contend with that, especially as a creative, I think is very real. But actually, creativity aside, it's very real, that feeling of inadequacy or feeling deprioritized by people who are supposed to be looking after you. I think that happens not only in record labels, but a lot.
I think we expect everyone to be so much stronger than they are.
Yeah.
You know, just to be able to deal with things and cope.
It's a lot.
It is too much. Like people expect too much from people and think they can say things that are painful, but you have no right to be upset by them in a way. Like even when I came back and I was like, please drop me. And it's like, I've had a bad, you know, I think there'd be a person I spoke to as a label. They're like, oh, boo-hoo, you had a panic attack, you know what I mean?
Don't lie.
Yeah, no, seriously. And I felt like I was
after this finishes recording, I think we're going to name some names.
No, it's more of a just a sort of like...
We're working on that, by the way. We're working on having it as a guarantee that artists are looked after therapeutically.
I think it's important because at that point, you know, when it was just happened, even the thought of thinking about what happened was really emotional. It was like, I don't even want
to
remember what happened last night because it was just really scary and it was terrible. So then even voicing it to somebody and it was like, oh, you had a panic attack, like, boo-hoo, does that mean that, you know what I mean? It wasn't like taken serious. It didn't feel like it was a serious thing, which then made me feel isolated in my own thoughts. And then it almost then there was a period of time where I thought when I got on the tube and the tube stopped in a tunnel and I sort of had like a moment of like, oh, this is reminding me a little bit of what's happened. Oh god, is it going to happen again? And then it was almost the paranoia of it happening started to control me for a period of time which I think everyone's probably at some point in their lives felt something like this. And going back to me being ignorant before all of this and before my own, I guess, issues with my mental health, I probably was nowhere near as understanding as I should have been to people who had gone through or were having anxiety, because for some reason, as someone who hadn't experienced it, I thought that this, you could be rational with it. But you need, if you rationalise that, you know, and you can, you're going to go home in the morning, so it's fine. And then I realised that 100% goes out of the window, and I feel really ashamed.
Emotion is so irrational as well. It's so irrational in its...
And the whole, I used to sort of think, like, if I had a friend who was talking to me, I sometimes try and make it better by trying to make them see all the positives in life. And I don't think that was potentially helpful either, you know?
There's a case for not being heard or seen.
There's a case for listening and understanding in a way that I don't know if I had done, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'd more like, let's help them, and all I needed to do at the time was listen.
There's two questions that I like to ask that add some form of continuity to ultimately structureless show. But what's your favourite colour?
Oh my God. That's such a huge question.
It's actually a bit deep, isn't it?
That's such a huge question.
You don't have to be right.
I don't know.
There's no right or wrong.
I feel like if I choose one, it's like I'm saying the rest are crap.
No, you're not. You're not.
I don't even know what's my
favourite. What's the first colour that comes to your head?
Blue, because I'm a Cov City fan.
Love
Sky
it.
Sky Blue Army.
Love it.
So it's just connected to them, and Sky Blue Army, that's what I am.
Coventry City.
Yeah.
It used to be good, didn't it?
Used to be amazing.
Yeah.
Those glory days.
Used to be in the Prem, right? Ticket.
Yeah, Dion Dublin, traitor though, went to Aston Villa, and I'll never ever forgive him.
I thought Aston Villa was Birmingham rivals.
Yeah, well, then they're still rivals with Cov City.
Really?
Big time.
Coventry right next to Birmingham.
Hey, Aston Villa. I was sort of mentioned it on, I can't remember what it was, I think on Soccer End, they're like, who's your favourite Cov City player ever, and I was like, Darren Huckabee.
Yeah.
And then he followed me straight away, best moment of my life. And then we sort of had a debate about, or not me and him, we were on the same side of people saying, you've got to forgive, you know, if people go to your rivals. And then I hardly go on Twitter, and it was just like, no, never, ever. And then, like, I think Darren Huckabee liked it. It's like, you don't do that. There's so many clubs to pick from. There's no excuse.
All right, next one. What's your favourite shape?
Favourite shape? Oh, my God. I think a circle.
Great. That's literally our logo. Thank you.
Is it?
Yeah.
I think it's... I don't even... Honestly, if I go to a restaurant...
I think it is the best
I can't thing. Order my food. You either accept it as part of who I am, or you hate going to restaurants with me. But I can't order my own food.
What's that got to do with circles?
I don't know really what my favourite shape is. I don't really know what my favourite colour is. Oh. I don't know anything substantial.
It's fair enough.
It's like, I think...
Who likes favourites anyway? Who likes favouritism?
If you're the favourite, I guess you would like it.
I don't know. It has its ups and downs.
Do you think so?
Yeah, more pressure. If you're someone's favourite, you have to constantly think about when you're going to be deprioritised. Whereas if you're in the middle, you haven't got that much stress, have you? And you can only really go up.
Yeah, you just enjoy the ride a bit. Good point.
It's hard at the top, I've heard. Is there anything you do to look after your mental health now? Is there like little routines?
I think I'm still learning.
Yeah.
This, I feel like...
But any tips?
Oh my goodness, any tips? It's really hard because... The best thing that I've done is get a therapist, but I know it's so expensive, you know, and I don't...
NHS is long for that.
Yeah,
long.
Right? I don't know. Like, I'm lucky enough that I've gone private and just paid to have a therapist and get on with sort of sorting myself out in a sort of way and chatting and learning. But for friends, when I see them going through, like, sometimes trying to get it sorted, it just takes a long, long time. Like, I don't... And then a couple of them have just sort of... given up, really, you know, amongst the appointments and trying to sort it out. So, you know, my advice is that's been the most helpful thing for me, and it seems like it's just really hard sometimes to get it, because I guess the question is, what is the parameters of what makes somebody need a therapist? You know?
Well, like, so. Yeah, I think
if I go to the doctors, you know, maybe I don't know what the words are, a case that needs a therapist, but from me, I really, it's been monumental.
I think that, I think well-being. We're aiming a lot, obviously this is for all ages, but with this campaign, the I Am Whole campaign started aimed at a younger audience, and I think the charity partners that we have are doing some cool stuff.
Are they really?
On the ground. Yeah, YMCA, The Mix, Calm, they all have great campaigns and accessibility helplines.
Amazing.
Services, nights, events, panels.
Well, it feels like it's like a turning point. I think I was listening to your Professor Green one.
Yeah, it's the first really popular about, one, that one, isn't it?
I don't know. Hating on people or having negative thoughts, and actually all that's doing is impacting you because they'll never know.
Yeah, 100%.
And not that you're hating on anything, but if we're talking about anything which is the political climate or the disagreements that are going on everywhere and how infuriating it is.
The whole time.
It's constant. And sometimes I felt like thinking about it and trying to understand it is like, in something that I think now I'm just beginning to feel totally hopeless in. It's all it's doing is
it's wild.
It's hurting me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Listen, I get updates on my phone, yeah, news updates. And it's only now and again that I realise I'll get an update like, plane crashed. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, I understand the necessity
for the news.
I understand the necessity of checking out the world and keeping up to date and whatever else. But like, in that moment, I can only feel sad. I can't look at that thing and go like, oh, okay.
That's the most amazing thing that I picked up the other day at the airport and now I've got a subscription to, which is called Positive News.
Yeah.
And it is unbelievable. Well,
happy, it's not happy news.
It's called Positive News.
My friend does one like that.
Magazine. I'm sure there's loads of it. And it's just got all of these amazing things that are happening in the world.
That's great.
Like really amazing stories of amazing people doing even a smaller thing as having a wormery under their sink. You know, like we're talking like, it doesn't have to be like massive, like monumental things of like with your own food waste. And if your council don't do it, have a little wormer if you don't want mine worms. And then that makes like the richest compost for your plants. I'm mad into gardening. That's helped me like hugely.
Oh my God, help me please. I think gardening would save my life, but I just don't know where to start.
Yeah, gardening has been a massive part. And lots of researchers prove that gardening's massively
because
good
it teaches
for your
you
well-being.
About incremental change, isn't it, and patience.
Tell you what, the biggest things for me when you feel like you're in a rut and you don't know how to get out, and you know, struggling even to like get on with the day with gardening, it's every morning I woke up and I'd seen something I planted being a little bit bigger, you know what I mean, it had just grown a tiny bit, a little bit more. It was just growing there right in front of me, tight, and only I would notice because I'm looking at it every single day, make a cup of tea and looking at my garden and looking at the things I've planted and seeing this natural growth of something quite amazing, like really, truly amazing, that's just forming in front of me. And I felt like that was great. So yeah, gardening and positive news, I guess, would be two slight bits of advice.
Love that.
I'm so boring.
Oh my God, you're not. Yeah, I love, I mean, you can do your thing with your anxiety about yourself on this podcast, but I genuinely think it's been informative, honest, open. We've covered all points without really trying, which is
wicked.
Have you felt? Is it so much? I'm quite worried that I've been a shit interviewer.
Shut up. Have you felt comfortable? Love this. I feel like the thing I struggle sometimes with life is when you're meeting new people is that you have to do the small talk.
Mm.
I find small talk really, really, really difficult. And sometimes I know when you do small talk and you're forming relationships with people, you're going to get to the good stuff eventually. That's how I feel anyway, which is through meeting and talking and having a being comfortable with each other. You could get to those like deeper conversations that feel like, I don't know, like they're adding something to your life in a way.
Totally.
And for me, that's like, and I know it's really terrible because I do at the same time love watching things like X Factor and like talking about things like that as well. But go ahead, this feels like a part of, I guess being interviewed sometimes feels like something that's not nice because you feel like you're just talking about yourself until you hate yourself. But this feels like something where you're talking about things that you care about.
Great.
And matters you care about, so it doesn't feel...
Good.
It's all what I love, really.
Well, thank you for being on the Whole Truth Podcast, Lucy Rose. Please subscribe and also rate it. However you want. The rating must reflect the whole truth and nothing but the truth. But I will say that a higher rating will improve our algorithm.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Powered by Spirit Studios.